Chronicles, the book of 2 Chronicles. Ruth. We have Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter. We'll take a text out of chapter 7. 2 Chronicles. And I want to look at, lay a little bit of groundwork here in the previous chapters. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Calvary. We thank You for Your blessings. Thank You, Lord, for being good to us. Lord, You are good. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that You'd help us. Lord, as we bow before You tonight, Lord, we're very weak. And Lord, we have need of You, great need of You, Lord. And I ask You tonight, Lord, for a word, Lord, to put in our hearts, Lord. I ask You, Jesus, to speak to this church and speak to me. I need You, Lord. I pray, God, that You'd help us from the good Word of God, and I pray You'd bless Your Word. And we'll give You honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All righty. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. What we have unfolding here is King Solomon has built a temple for the Lord. In this beginning here, in this chapter number 3, we see him beginning the work. Chapter number 2, he's getting everything together. Chapter 3, he is building this temple. And chapter number 4 unfolds. He's getting the materials and building. In chapter number 5, we see the ark being brought into this new temple. And thank God for number 5 and grace and the ark. I'm glad that God seemed fit to give us grace that we could get to where He's at. And also there we see in chapter number 6, we see that Solomon completes this temple in at the end of chapter 5. Chapter 6, Solomon does something very wise. And Solomon was wise beyond any other man, the Bible says. Chapter number 6, the whole entire chapter, Solomon falls on his face before God and he prays. And he goes through his mind and he thinks about things. Now, this temple, we've got to understand this temple, and I would probably say there's never been a building built as extravagant or as beautiful as this temple here, probably so. I mean, I've been to builder shows, I've seen a lot of fancy stuff, but if you'll study this temple out here and look at it, and even the tabernacle back in the day on the incense side, it's absolutely amazing. It's beyond my comprehension. I mean, it's amazing. But here, Solomon is wise enough not to get carried away with the building here. And he goes and he gets in his altar, and I have to believe that, I want to think that this chapter number 6 here, this prayer that he prays is more than any 30-minute prayer. I wouldn't stop it in an hour, but I would have to say that probably Solomon, he's probably in his prayer closet, he's probably in his prayer place for at least all night long. And he's calling on God and he's bringing forth before God different situations here because this building has been erected for the people to worship Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty. This has been erected for Him. And here this beautiful, magnificent building is, and Solomon, he's wise enough to know that it ain't nothing but gold and ain't nothing but stones. It's nothing but mortar if the Lord God's not inside of it. So I want you to understand that even in this day and hour that we live in, we've got a beautiful building here, and there's beautiful, way more bigger buildings than this scattered throughout the entire world. But I want to say that they're just buildings without the presence of a thrice holy God. If we come to church tonight to look at the building, if we come to church tonight for any other reason than the presence of God, we've come amiss. And we've missed it totally. So Solomon looks down through time and he goes to thinking and he goes to praying. And there in verse number 23 of chapter 6, we see he asked the Lord, say, Lord, what if your people get in some disagreements? And I'm paraphrasing, I'm going to alliterate it here. What if your people comes into some disagreements, God, and they cause all kinds of problems? And he goes on in verse number 25 of chapter 6. He said, what about defeats? In verse 27, he said, what about a deficit? Or what about dryness? In chapter 6, verse 30, he says, what about dearth? Chapter number 6, verse 33, we see, what about if we get distance from you, Lord? What if we get far away from you? Verse 35, he says, then hear thou from heaven and pray of the supplication of man and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land where they are carried captive and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done this amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart, with all their soul, and the land of their captivity, whether they have carried them captives and pray toward their lands, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and towards the city which thou hast chosen, and towards the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from heaven. Now he's praying now, is what he's doing. He said, then hear thou from heaven, even from thy dwelling place, their prayers and their supplication, and maintain their cause. Forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. So Solomon looks down through the corridors of time, and he sees his people. And he sees that, no doubt, they are human. And he sees that God knows their frame, and he sees that God knows that they're but dust. And he says, Lord, there's no doubt in my mind that they're going to mess up. There's no doubt in my mind that they're going to falter. They're going to get distant from you. There's going to be dry spells. There's going to be problems that arise in their life. And Lord, I want to ask you a petition tonight as we've built this and erected it in your name and for your name. If your people there, if they'll humble themselves and they'll pray, I wonder tonight if you would forgive them and heal them. So Solomon is praying in chapter 6. Chapter number 7 unfolds like this in verse number 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven. I'd say that's a pretty good answer. Would you agree with me? And consume the burnt offering. That's God's way of saying, yep, I like that. Amen. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. I sure do like that. And the priest could not enter. Let's just read this. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they, listen now, they bowed themselves. Anybody, I wonder if anybody can read this, can relate and think back in your mind and see a time and remember a time when you've experienced the presence of a thrice holy God. What was you doing?
Was you talking about how good your week was? Was you talking about how good you did? No. If you got in front of my God, I'm going to tell you what. He's a big old mirror. He is, matter of fact, He is a holy mirror. And if you get close to God, you're going to look and you're going to see yourself and you're going to bow yourself down and you're going to realize that you're nothing. You're a big zero with the rim rubbed out. Amen. And He's everything. He's holy and He's wonderful. So that's where they're at. They bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and they worshiped. What else are you going to do? And praise the Lord, saying, didn't have a whole lot to say, just said, He's good. He is good tonight, ain't He? Let me tell you something, if you don't go home with anything else, go home with this, for He is good. God is good tonight, amen. I want to say this tonight, in every way, in everything that He does, every action that He takes, every road He crosses, amen. He does it well, and He does it good, every decision He makes. I'm glad that He's a God that's got a hold to me, and He's leading me and guiding me, amen. For He is good, and His mercy endures forever. And we see in verse 4 and 5, we see the sacrifices. Now, what God's doing now, chapter number 7 is nothing but an answer from God to chapter number 6. Chapter number 6, Solomon is speaking. Solomon's doing all the talking. Chapter number 7, God sends that fire down, Solomon falls down, and God goes to speaking. I love it. Watch your Bible. Let's pick up verse number 11. We've seen verse number 4 and verse number 5. We see this is a sacrifice. Solomon has sacrificed here. Let me just read it to you. The king and all the people offered sacrifice for the Lord. I've seen a little rabbit jump up. Needs to be. And the king Solomon, verse number 5, offered. And the king Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. Do you hear what I said? 22,000 oxen at about 1,600 pounds apiece. And then 120,000 sheep. You know what I want to say? When I read that study in this, you know what my heart said? Wow. And then you know what the Holy Ghost said to me? He said, when's the last time you gave something to God that made people say, wow? You see, here's the little rabbit that's jumping up and I got to chase it because the Lord said, chase. Listen to me, we're good at paying our tithes around the house of God. It's easy in these very prosperous times where everybody's getting a big fat check and everybody's got a little extra. It's easy to give that 10%. But honey, there is a time in your life when you need to go ahead and quit. You may not be robbing Him in your tithes, but you're robbing Him in your offerings. Come on now, that's free of charge. That's a little rabbit jumped up and stop right down at Liberty Baptist Church. So it'd do you good tonight, and it may not be a $20 bill that God wants, amen. It may not be what you're folding money that God wants. It may be some of your time, and it may be some of the talents that God has placed in your life that He wants you to give a little bit more of. There's some of you around here that knows how to do stuff and knows how to be a blessing to people. And that other people would look at what you've done and they would say, wow. I'm preaching to you. I know I am. So what you've got, you can be a blessing to the family of God. And people will look at you and say, wow. I want to say this too. I'll get the message out a while. But I feel the Lord here trying to instill some. I want to thank
God for Brother Ken. I look at what's happened here, and I look at Brother Ken's life, and I say, wow. I do. I look at the work God has built here. I look at Solomon. And Solomon is like a pastor to this people here. But I look, you know, I understand Brother Ken's just a man. And I'm glad he ain't here tonight because I ain't got to make him feel bad. But maybe he won't even listen to it. But I'm going to tell you something. Brother Ken is a blessing. And I know what it takes for a work like this because I've pastored before. And I appreciate what the man has sacrificed on the altar. I'm going to read you some verses here in just a minute here. When this man of God, when Solomon was praying, everybody else was asleep. When God is talking to Solomon here in chapter number 7, it's at nighttime and everybody else is asleep. And there's countless nights when you're asleep and your family's asleep and everything's going well down at your house. Listen to me, the man of God is up at night and he's listening for the voice of God in order for this thing to function. This is not a liberal outfit around here. It's not a crazy outfit. This is a real church. And if you're going to have real church in this day and hour that we live in, you've got to have a man of God that'll listen to the voice of God and get a word for His people. Now you can go down the road, you can tickle the ears of the people, but if you're going to have God, and you're going to have a place that you're proud of, and a place that you can worship, you've got to hear from the voice of a thrice holy God. I'm telling you like it is. I don't know if you're thinking or you're mad at me or what. You ain't saying nothing. But I know you're listening. Listen to me, verse number 11. Then Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house he prosperously effected. Now, and the verse number 12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon. There it is, by night. And everybody else is asleep. And said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. Many times have you prayed and you thought God didn't hear it. This is another night. God, it wasn't like you and I having a conversation and I say something to you, Brother David, and immediately you say something back to me. Honey, it can be times where you're talking to God and you're praying to God, and it may be a day or two, or it may be a week or two before God. He ain't going to answer you right then. But just know this, He's hearing you. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by, said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen. What an amazing statement. What an amazing compliment here. He said, I have chosen this place to myself. Whoa, I thought Solomon chose this. I thought Solomon's the one that built this and gonna give it to God. No, God chose this and God put it in Solomon's heart. And he said this, for an house of sacrifice. Now look here now. Here's where we're getting to now. This is about where we're at in the United States today. Now we like to brush off stuff. We like not to think about. I want to think positive. We've listened too much to Joel Osteen. And we've got seven. Listen, I'm just telling you, we need to face some reality. America is backslidden. I don't care what you say. I don't care how much money is in your checking account. I don't care how happy your family is tonight. I want to tell you this, that America is backslid on God. It's turned its back on God, and it really don't care nothing about God. Very few does. Well, you need to watch more news if you don't believe that. You need to see the sin that's in the streets. You need to see what's going on. Wickedness. Wickedness. And notice with me now. Here's what God's contemplating doing. He said, Solomon, you remember what Solomon prayed about over there in chapter number 6? He said, Solomon, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. Do you understand back in this day and time, if it didn't rain, what the problem was going to be? Remember us teaching about the little woman that had no cake? It's a serious problem if God shuts up the heaven where it don't rain. A serious problem. It's amazing. It'd be sort of like nowadays our iPhone battery going dead. Or if I command the locust to devour the land. You mean God would command, you mean God would shut the heavens up that it would not rain just because we made a little mistake? Very well could be if we don't turn from it. Do you mean God would command the locust? Don't you love your Bible? Do you mean He would command the locust to devour my crops, to devour the crops that's all through the Great Plains if I don't turn? Absolutely. Watch your Bible. Here's another. Or if I send pestilence among my people. You know what the word pestilence here is? Disease. Virus. Yeah, look it up. Don't take my word for it. You mean God, the loving God that I've... You mean He would send some things like this to get my attention? He sure would. He sure would. You see, here's the way we're built. We get so captivated in our lives. We get so captivated in our American dream. We get so captivated in all this stuff, and we fall in love with our daily grind that we tend, after a time, to forget God. We tend to get to a place to where that when times were hard, when times were difficult, we would find that altar and we would weep bitter tears and cry, and we would long for the time that we could pray, and we would long to get in this Word and God just to give me a verse that I could be nourished by for the day. We had a time like that. But since things has gotten good, we'll find ourselves, I know what I'm talking about, we'll find ourselves bowing in an altar, and we'll be rehearsing a prayer that we've got in our mind and not in our hearts. We'll read our Bible. Now here's what we do. We'll read our Bibles, and we'll have something else on our mind while we're looking our Bible over and reading that Bible. I'm telling you like it is because I've done it. Read that Bible. I'll be reading this verse number 14 here that I know by heart. And I'll be thinking about a job over. You know what? Let me tell you something now. You know what'll fix that though? You know what'll fix my crazy mind and my crazy heart? If He sends a locust. I don't like preaching this, but that's a fact. If He sends a locust, if he sends a pestilence, if He commands a locust to go over there to my field, if He commands a locust to go over where I live at, boy, you better believe I know where my altar is. It's a shame it's that way. It's a shame that I don't... Boy, you know what would be good for me? It'd be good for me to humble myself tonight and realize that, boy, howdy, I don't know who... Boy, every once in a while I get so prideful and I think I can make it on my own. Boy, I'm so ignorant. I'll get so prideful and I'll think, boy, look at what I'm doing. I won't say it out loud. I ain't that crazy. But I go to thinking... Everything's a rolling pretty smooth. Everything's a going well. But you know what? I don't know who I'm dealing with. He's a God that sits upon the circle of the earth.
And you know, every breath I'm breathing a little hard right now. But every single breath that I take, the very next one is not promised. I may take my last breath while I'm standing in this pulpit. And God Almighty has the heart that's in my chest in His hand. And He has my wife's heart. He has my children's heart. He has my family's heart. Oh God, I must humble myself and realize that I cannot take one step without Him. I need Him bad. Oh God, help us. Help us, Lord. Oh, watch it now. But He said, verse 14, if my people, He said, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face, He says, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And I doubt I'm going to get to my message, but I want to preach on this thought. I want to instill this thought in your heart. What it's going to take to fix it. What it's going to take to fix it. You ever thought about that? What's it going to take to fix it? As we look and I listen to people, we look across America today and we see the chaos and the craziness going on. I mean, it's a shooting on the news. It's a hospital. It's something all the time. There ain't no such thing as good news no more, hardly. Unless you go down to church house, of course. And you know, I thought about what in the world is it going to take to fix it. And if you listen to your peers at work or if you listen to society, they'll say, well, it's them stinking Democrats. I got news for you. There ain't a Republican around that can fix it. I'm going to vote Republican because of the way they believe is it sort of lines up with the way I believe. They're the better of the two. But I ain't got my faith in a name of a person. And if you got your faith, if you really think that we can hire, if we can get a new president, if we can take a Senate back over, Lord, if we can take the House back over, everything will be all right. Everything will be wonderful. No. Of course, I'm all for all that. But I'm going to tell you what it's going to take to fix it. You and me. You hear me, church? I said, church, my people. You hear what I'm saying tonight? What it's going to take to fix it. It's not the city of Bowden. It's not the city of Ranburn. It's not the city of Heflin. It's not the city of Carrollton. It's not the state of Georgia. Not the state of Alabama. But what it's going to take to fix it is you that's a blood-bought, born-again child of God. That's where the problem lies. Me. Notice with me now, let's break this down so we can sort of... The word if lets me know that there is a possibility. God's saying if you do take the wrong direction, if you head down the wrong road, I want you to know that there is a possibility. Starts the sentence up with the little word if. And I promise you, I could preach for a solid hour on the little word if. It's in the middle of your life. Do you know that? Take the word L off and the word E off. If is right in the middle. If, he says, there is a possibility. If you go wrong, I'm glad that God's got enough grace that if we head down the wrong direction, you can call on Him. I'm glad He gave us the possibility to call on Him and get it right. Ain't you glad of that? He said, now, watch it now. Not only is if the possibility, but He said, my people. That's personal. That's personal. My people.
That's a personal, which are called by my name, that's a personal possession. I'm glad, he said, my people. That means that two things, that it is personal, but he also possesses me. I am in his ownership. And he's talking about those that belong to me. You see, understand me now, not everybody is a Christian. Not everybody is saved. Not everybody that you go to work with or go to school with or go wherever with, not everybody is his people. But those that believe on the name of Jesus Christ and been saved by the grace of God, that's his people. He said, you're mine. But notice with me there what he says next. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, watch this, shall humble themselves. Ain't that something? I don't like the Lord to humble me. But you know what? The Lord says, I ain't got to humble you. I haven't got to send to the pestilence. I ain't got to send the plague. I ain't got to send all that stuff. You can humble yourself. That shows me that there's a preparation. There's a preparation. I'm going to use an illustration an old black preacher once used. And he said there was an Indian one time. He said that Indian was a carrying on and praising God. A cowboy come up to him and said, what are you carrying on so crazy for, Indian? And that Indian, you know, couldn't speak real good English, so he dug a trench about 20 foot long, about a foot deep, and he filled that thing full of oil. And he took a little old worm, and he went about 10 foot this way, and 10 foot found the center of that trench, and he dropped that worm down in the middle of that oil. He went on one side of that trench over here and took a ladder and lift that oil. Went on the other side of that trench and lift that oil. And he went back to the middle of that trench, and that fire was coming towards that worm, and that worm couldn't crawl out. It couldn't crawl through, and the fire was getting close. And all of a sudden, that Indian reached down and grabbed that worm and yanked him out, and the fire met in the middle. Indian said, that's what my God did for me. You want me to tell you how you can humble yourself? You can remember where you was before God. That's what happened for me. You can remember where you was and what was about to happen to you. Reason somehow you can't get excited because it ain't never happened to you. I'm telling you like it is. The fire was coming on both sides, and I was about to go to hell. And he reached further down than I could pick it. I could reach up. Humble yourselves, he says. And then he says, and pray. That's our power. And then he says, seek my face. That's my privilege. Ain't it a blessing that God will let you pray? And ain't it a blessing that he will allow the likes of us to seek his face? Ain't that a blessing tonight? And turn from our wicked ways. That's progress. As we turn from our wicked ways, that lets me know that I'm not wicked, but I got wicked ways. You see, I'm saved by the grace of God. My soul is saved. I'm washed in the blood. I'm as clean as Christ is Himself, but I'm still in this flesh here, and this flesh, Brother Lee, has wicked ways. I realize there's a lot of folks that's arrived. I realize there's some good folks that may be listening tonight, but I got news for you. I believe with all of my heart, in some shape, form, or fashion, you probably got some wicked ways about you. Am I right about it?
And if you'll realize and look at yourself and really look in the mirror and see who you are, right, and what you're capable of, and where you come from, you'll humble yourself and realize that I can't even get out of the bed in the morning without God holding my hand.
Wicked ways, he said. Ain't that amazing? Turn from your wicked ways. You see, a lot of times I have no problem humbling myself. A lot of times I have no problem praying. But you know what my flesh has the biggest problem with? Turning from Jamie's wicked ways. I'm going to preach honest to you tonight. I'm the least in the building, I understand that. But my flesh, boy howdy, my flesh has some ways about it that I don't even know why God don't just flick me off into a lake somewhere. I'm telling you the truth. You know what I'm saying? My ways bother me. But you know what? The Lord said, if. Ain't that a blessing? If. You know what we ought to do? As wicked as this bunch on Wednesday night, we're probably pretty wicked, ain't we?
Yeah.
When you go to looking at somebody else, yeah, you might think you're a notch up above them, but let me tell you who to look at tonight. There's a man hanging on a tree with his brow pierced and his hands and his feet pierced and his side speared. Look at him tonight and compare yourself to him and then stand on your high horse. Let me tell you tonight, we all have wicked ways about us. And we all need help from God. We all need to cry out to him tonight.
If my people, which are called by my name. Listen to me now. Watch this. If we'll turn from them wicked ways. Then he says, I'll hear from heaven. You know what I call that? That's pity. That's pity. You know what the Lord looks down and sees me? And He knows He knows me. Do you not think, I'm going to encourage somebody in here that's a battling tonight. I got 6 more minutes. You may be a battling and fighting. And you may mess up. Seems like your flesh wins 90% of the time. Seems like you're picking yourself up more. Amen. Anybody else feel like that? Let me tell you something. Do you think God in His omnipotent, sovereign glory didn't know you when He formed you? He knew you before you ever was an embryo? He knew you before you was formed in your mother's womb. Don't ask me how that is, but He knew you before anybody else ever knew you. Before your mama named you, He knew your name. Ain't that a blessing? I say glory to God. He knew in 2022, He knew in 2022 exactly where you would be, what you'd be going through, and He knew that if you that are called by His name would humble yourself, He knew. He said, I'm going to listen. I'm going to hear from heaven. I say that's pretty much pity. I'm glad He has pity on His children. As a father pitieth His children. Psalms 103. Now listen to me. We're about done. Watch this, and will forgive their sin. And will forgive the. You know what that is? That's pardon.
Yeah.
You know what that means? I've handled your case out of court. That means it's no longer. That thing that you've done wrong, that sin that you committed that's weighing you down, and the devil's sitting on your shoulder saying,
I told you you was a failure. I told you you was going to mess up. I told you. Look how sorry you are. Look, you ain't nothing but a dog. The Lord don't love you no more. The Lord ain't going to have nothing to do with you no more. You might as well give up. You might as well throw the towel in. Matter of fact, won't you just do it, you know, do away with everything. Just quit. You know what the Lord says? If. He said, I'll pardon you. I'll forgive their sin. And lastly, he says, I'll heal their land. I'll heal their land. I say that's prosperity. Prosperity. I wonder tonight, I hope I hadn't. I didn't even get to my message, my outline. But I wanted to preach on what it's going to take to fix it. But I wanted you to get this verse here before you ever got my outline. This verse here is very important. I'm going to tell you what it's going to take to fix it. Now, let me throw this out there free of charge too. This message may not be relevant to you at this point in time in your life. But you know what David did when he faced the giant? Did he go down to the creek? Did he go down to the brook and get one stone? Even though it just took one stone to kill the giant, he wound up that one stone, threw it, hit the giant. David got five smooth stones. You know what he done? He put it in his script. You know what? Because there may be some more giants that come in the future that I need four more stones for. And I want you to understand this. When Brother Ken preaches, when these men teach or preach on Wednesday night or what have you, wherever you may be in a revival, or when they preach a message, you better pick that stone up and put it in your script. Even though tonight, even though Thursday morning, you may whirl one of your stones, you should have three more stones in your script for later on down the road. Well, I remember what Brother Ken preached on back in May of 2022. Well, I remember what the man of God preached on back in October of 2021 at Camp Meeting. Well, I remember this. That's a stone in your script, and you better hold on to it. Because there may be a time where you need to get your sling out and hit the giants. Thank God for some grace. What it's going to take to fix it. Father, thank you, Lord, for Calvary. Thank you for the blood tonight. Thank you for dying for us. I thank you. I want to thank you tonight for this amazing book. I thank you, Lord God. It never ceases to amaze me what's in it. There's an answer for everything there is. There's an example for all of your glory to be revealed here that we can see. God, I pray for this place. I pray for the pastor here. I pray for the assistant. I pray, God, for the youth. I pray for all these people. The prayer warriors, Lord God, I pray, God, that you would nourish them. Lord, I pray, God, that you would strengthen them and help them. And I thank you for the good graces that you bestow upon us. Help us, Lord, to take your word and try our best to follow it. In Jesus' name, amen.